This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 8:48 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez. As we take a look at news that Pemudaran Nasional Berhad, PNB, wants to hold less cash. They're setting their sights on private investments and fixed income assets so that PNB can keep churning out those attractive returns. However, we have to note, though, that PNB's dividends have seen a little bit of a decline, right? Mm. I think it was 7.4% in 2014 and last year 6.1%.
Now, this is Malaysia's largest fund manager we're talking about. Their assets under management, 271 billion ringgit as of the end of September, and that's just about 10 billion ringgit less than what was allocated for budget 2018. So big numbers there. Mm. And on top of that, 70% of that money is in equities with another 18.5% in cash. Rest of it are in private investments, fixed income and property. However, by 2022, 5 years from now, they want to reduce its cash holdings by over 6 percentage points down to 12%.
Oh, 18.5% of cash. Mm. That's a lot of cash to be sitting on, right?
Exactly. And it's sitting there like not really doing anything. Well, cash and money markets as well, you know. But you'd rather make those assets sweat for you, right? So they plan to move their money into private equity or private investments, fixed income, and then property in that order. And that according to PNB Chairman Tan Sri Abdul Wahid.
I wonder why in that particular order. Because if you look at it, private equity is far more risky than property, for instance, right?
Yeah, well,
higher return. Yeah. Fair enough.
But they have to go and do their due diligence. But still, you know, in recent months, look, PNB Chairman Tan Sri Abdul Wahid has said that PNB wants to grow its assets to 350 billion ringgit compared to the 271 figure that Brian just mentioned, right? So if you distill those numbers, that means that PNB would have about 23 billion ringgit in cash to spend over the next 5 years. Now, to just kind of give you some comparison here, 23 billion ringgit, that's the equivalent of Pat Deg's market cap, at least for the next 10 minutes. We'll see how Pat Deg does, you know, over, you know, when markets open, right? So, in other words, PNB has to find deals, okay, worth the same as Pat Deg's market cap by 2022. Now, yes, Tan Sri said that it'll be in fixed income, private investments, property, but still, 23 billion ringgit, that's a lot of money, though.
It is, yeah.
But maybe, perhaps, you know, what they would do is, and this will give a boost to the SME and emerging companies that are out there who are not in public markets. So that's why it's interesting they said private equity firms. So that could provide...
Private
investments. So that will really provide an impetus then for growth in those sectors.
Go get those application forms, start lining up outside the PNB office, people.
But you know, guys, I still worry about the spread of the allocation, right? Because it's 98% of PNB's investments are within Malaysia. Look, I mean, I get PNB has a mandate for nation building somewhat, but there's also this home country bias, which, you know, at 98% is massive. It's all concentrated here in Malaysia. All the risk is just kind of consolidated into one. But whether we could look at maybe even going abroad a little bit more.
Well, their argument is, and according to Tan Sri Wahid, it's important for them to continue to invest in Malaysia simply from an asset liability perspective, but also really from an domestic economic multiplier perspective.
Right. But then, yeah, Melissa, like you pointed out, the argument is that with 98% of that 270 plus billion here, you're crowding out the retail investors and all these other funds, right? So, but to be fair to PNB, you know, Tan Sri Abdul Wahid has also said that they are looking to rebalance, that's the word he used, rebalance their international portfolio, especially now that the ringgit is getting stronger. Look, the ringgit has gained over 7% so far this year. Now at that one-year high, 4.176 against the greenback, far, far cry from that near 450 levels that we saw back in January.
Still far from 3.2.
Well, yes.
Okay. Is that the benchmark
if you're going to go older, Brian, you would know there's a 2.5.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Way
a long time ago.
Hey, Mel, Brian, you keep waiting now. So back to PNB, as the ringgit gains, you know, perhaps their appetite for overseas investments, you know, that could grow as well.
Well, anyway, their existing investments are not too shabby at the moment, because Sime Darby just reported its results for their first financial quarter end September, and net profit for Sime Darby grew 152% on year.
Okay, let's look at those numbers. It translates to a net profit of more than 1.3 billion ringgit. Big part of it came from the plantation unit. Net profit from Sime Darby plantations was six times higher compared to the same period in 2016. Their property rose 183% on year. But really, if you look at it, it's down to a few one-off sales for those respective units.
Okay. Yeah, look, the Sime Darby plantations, they had a 6 million ringgit gain from a sale of a land to its other Sime Darby subsidiary, the Properties One. You know, Sime Darby Properties themselves sold off a 40% stake in Sri Emas Development. That got them over 270 million ringgit. They also sold Malaysia Land Development Corporation for 41 million ringgit. So what does that mean? Plenty of restructuring going on, you know, which hopefully will set Sime Darby up quite nicely for that demerger. You know, recall both property and plantations set to be spun off and listed by the end of November.
Ooh, let's keep an eye on that. But while PNB is looking to reduce its cash pile, Putrajaya may try to put more cash in our pockets. That is, if fuel prices keep rising, because apparently this is to help Malaysians contend with the rising cost of living. According to Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, he suggested that maybe the government might try to extend the BRIM cash payments to the M40 segment as well.
Tapi kalau katakan harga minyak meningkat satu tahap yang kita merasakan bahawa dia akan menyebabkan inflation yang terlalu tinggi, then maybe kita akan boleh mempertimbangkan supaya we may need to consider increasing certain financial assistant kepada golongan-golongan B40 yang terjejas ataupun lower M40. Tapi yang ini kita tak buat keputusan lagi. Ini bergantung kepada kedudukan kerajaan.
Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, their second finance minister, saying that perhaps BRIM could be extended to the lower M40 should oil prices hit a certain level.
Yeah, so this year about 7 million Malaysians received those BRIM payments, with Putrajaya spending about 6.8 billion on the program for this year. Now, that program will continue next year. Households with a monthly income of less than 3,000 ringgit will get up to 1,200 ringgit as BRIM payments. Mm. So what the second finance minister says comes true? Some of those in the M40 group, for example, households less than 9,000 ringgit could get BRIM payments as well. But to be clear, he said that it'll only be for the lower bracket. Right. Of the M40.
Yeah, we're not quite clear where that falls, what that threshold is.
Yeah, right? No, but generally speaking, M40 is about 3,000 ringgit plus to about 8,300, 9,000 ringgit per month for a household income here. Now, again, looking forward to next year, right? Under budget 2018, you've got the M40 who already will be getting that 2 percentage point tax cut, okay? So that's for the taxable income between 20,000 ringgit to 70,000 ringgit. Now, collective, that means that the M40 will have 1.5 billion ringgit extra to spend next year.
Not all of us.
Well, not all of us, you know. But at the individual level, if you break it down, okay, that breaks down to, you know, something more palatable, like a 300 to 1,000 ringgit extra cash to spend. So I did some quick math here. Now, if RON 95 stays at current prices, which it likely will not, but if, you know, let's just say, that's an extra 420 litres of petrol. Okay, that's at the upper end. That's enough for those of you driving your Toyota Vios right now. That's enough to fill up your car up to 10 times.
Wow, so, you know, that's okay.
You can
take a few
more trips up to Penang.
That's a few months of fuel, huh?
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, so if that happens, then in that case, it really...
At the upper end,
it could be a case of, you know, as many times as 10 full tanks.
Yeah.
But what about those fuel subsidies? Because on the front page of Sinar this morning, I saw the headline was Kembalikan Subsidi Minyak, and that was comments from the Vice President of Parti Pribumi Bersatu, Dato' Sri Mukris Mahathir.
Yeah, the government has once again reiterated their stance. No more subsidizing of petrol. Dato' Sri Johari saying that it's not practical to step in and distort the market, and it'll create more uncertainties for businesses and ultimately the rakyat. So they really can't distort the market every time there's a price movement.
Yeah. Now, he also said that for every $1 increase in global oil prices, Putrajaya gets 300 million ringgit. So if you use that math, okay, just some really simple back of envelope calculations, the government has received an extra 4.5 billion ringgit since June. Now, why did I pick June? Because that's when oil prices hit the low for this year at about $46 per barrel, okay? Still, right, from 46 back in June to now it's about 61 plus, right? All that is still above that $45 per barrel assumption for Brent that they used to table budget 2017. So there has been some extra money in the government's pockets.
Okay, so maybe they can afford it. Who knows? But you know, speaking about the risks coming from the changes in oil prices, the world's biggest wealth fund is now moving out of the energy sector. Norway's central bank has said that the country will be less vulnerable during declining crude prices without investments from that industry. So the Norway is taking its next step to remove itself and selling out some of its stocks in coal and as well as oil and gas. Mm. All right, we've got the 9 o'clock news bulletin coming up next with Lynn Mark on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.